11. The summer rainy season was in full spate the afternoon Shirin 501 returned to Saro City. The plump psychologist stepped out of the plane into a stupendous downpour that had turned the airfield into something close to a lake. Gray torrents of rain rode almost horizontally on fierce gusts of wind. Gray. Gray. Everything gray. The suns had to be up there somewhere in all that murk. That faint glimmer in the west was probably Onos, and there were hints of the chilly light of Tano and Setha off the other way. But the cloud cover was so thick that the day was disagreeably dark. Uncomfortably dark for Shirin, who still, despite what he had told his hosts in Jonglor, was troubled by the after-effects of his 15-minute ride through the Tunnel of Mystery. He would have gone on a 10-day fast sooner than he'd admit it to Calaritan and Cubello and the rest of those people, but he had come perilously close to the danger point in there. For 3 or 4 days thereafter, Shirin had experienced a touch, only a touch, of the kind of claustrophobia that had sent so many citizens of Jonglor to the mental hospital. He would be in his hotel room, working on his report, when suddenly he would feel darkness closing in on him, and he would find it necessary to get up and go out on his terrace, or even to leave the building entirely for a long stroll in the hotel garden. Necessary? Well, maybe not, but preferable. Certainly preferable. And he always felt better for doing it. Or he would be asleep and the darkness would come to him then. Naturally, the godlight would be on in his room when he slept. He always slept with one on. He knew nobody who didn't. And since the tunnel ride, he had taken to using an auxiliary godlight, too, in case the battery of the first one should fail, though the indicator clearly said it had 6 months' power left. Even so, Shirin's sleeping mind would become convinced that his room had been plunged into the depths of lightlessness, utterly black, the true and complete darkness. And he would awaken, trembling, sweating, convinced he was in darkness, even though the friendly glow of the two godlights was right there on either side of him to tell him that he was not. So now, to step from his plane into this somber twilight landscape, well, he was glad to be home, but he would have preferred a sunnier arrival. He had to fight off mild distress, or perhaps not so mild, as he entered the plexiglass foul-weather passageway that led from his plane to the terminal. He wished they hadn't put the passageway up. Better not to be enclosed right now, Shirin thought, even if it did mean getting wet. Better to be out there under the open sky, under the comforting light, however faint just now, however hidden by clouds, of the friendly suns. But the queasiness passed. By the time he had claimed his baggage, the cheering reality of being back home again in Sorrow City had triumphed over the lingering effects of his brush with darkness. Lilith 221 was waiting for him outside the baggage pickup area with her car. That made him feel better, too. She was a slender, pleasant-looking woman in her late 40s, a fellow member of the psychology department, though her work was experimental, animals in mazes, no overlap at all with his. They had known each other 10 or 15 years. Shirin would probably have asked her to marry him long ago if he had been the marrying type, but he wasn't. Nor, for all the indication she had ever given him, was she. Still, the relationship they did have seemed to suit them both. "Of all the miserable days to pick for coming home," he said as he slipped in beside her and reached across to give her a quick friendly kiss. "It's been like this for 3 days, and they say we're in for 3 more of it, until next Onos Day. We'll all be drowned by then, I suppose. You look as if you've lost some weight up there in Jonglor, Shirin."
"Have I? Oh, well, you know, northern food, not really to my taste."
He hadn't expected that it would be so apparent. A man of his girth ought to be able to drop 10 or 15 pounds without it being noticeable at all. But Lilith had always had sharp eyes, and perhaps he had dropped more than 10 or 15 pounds. Ever since the tunnel, he had simply pecked at his food. Him. It was hard for him to believe how little he had eaten. "You look good," she said. "Healthy. Vigorous."
"Do I?"
"Not that I think you need to be skinny, not at this late date, but it can't hurt to take a little off. So you enjoyed yourself in Jonglor?"
"Well, get to see the exposition?"
"Yes, fabulous." He couldn't muster much enthusiasm. "My God, this rain, Lilith." "It wasn't raining in Jonglor?"
"Clear and dry all the time, the way it was when I left Sorrow."
"Well, seasons change, Shirin. You can't hope to have the same weather for 6 months at a stretch, you know. With a different set of suns in the ascendant every day, we can't expect the patterns of climate to hold still very long.
I can't tell whether you sound more like a meteorologist or an astrologer, Sheeran said.
Neither. I sound like a psychologist. Aren't you going to tell me anything about your trip, Sheeran? He hesitated.
Well, the exposition was very fine. I'm sorry you missed it. But most of the time I was hard at work.
They've got a real mess on their hands up north, this tunnel of mystery thing. Is it really true that people have been dying in it?
A few, but mainly they've been coming out traumatized, disoriented, claustrophobic.
I spoke with some of the victims. They'll be months recovering. For some, it'll be permanent disability. And even so, the tunnel stayed open for weeks. After the problems began,
no one seemed to care.
Least of all the people who run the exposition. They were just interested in selling tickets. And the fairgoers were curious about darkness.
Curious about darkness. Can you imagine that, Lilith? They lined up eagerly to put their minds in jeopardy.
Of course, they were all convinced that nothing bad was going to happen to them. And nothing bad did to a lot of them, but not all. I took a ride in the tunnel myself.
You did? She said, sounding astonished. What was it like?
A nasty business. I'd pay a good deal not to have to do it again.
But obviously you came out all right.
Obviously, he said carefully. I might come out all right if I'd swallowed a half dozen live fish, too. But it's not something I'd be likely to want to repeat. I told them to shut their damn tunnel down. That was my professional opinion, and I think they're going to abide by it. We simply weren't designed to withstand that much darkness, Lilith. A minute, 2 minutes maybe, then we start to snap. It's an innate thing. I'm convinced of it. Millions of years of evolution shaping us to be what we are. Darkness is the most unnatural thing in the world. But the idea of selling it to people as entertainment... He shuddered.
Well, I've had my trip to Jonglore, and now I'm back. What's been going on at the university?
Nothing much, Lilith replied. The usual stupid little squabbles, the usual faculty meetings, lofty declarations of outrage over this and that burning social issue. You know. She fell silent for a moment, both hands clinging to the steering stick as she guided the car through deep pools of water that flooded the highway. There's apparently some sort of fuss over at the observatory, by the way. Your friend, Binet-25, came around looking for you. He didn't tell me very much, but it seems they're having a big reevaluation of one of their key theories. Everybody's in an uproar. Old Aethor himself is leading the research. Can you imagine it? I thought his mind had ossified a century ago. Binet had some newspaper man with him. Someone who writes a popular column. Theremin, I think that was his name. Theremin 762. I didn't care for him much.
He's very well known. Something of a firebrand, I think. Though I'm not exactly sure what kind of causes he fulminates about, he and Binet spend a lot of time together.
Sheeran made a mental note to call the young astronomer after he had unpacked. For close to a year now, Binet had been living with Sheeran's sister's girl, Raista 717, and Sheeran had struck up a close friendship with him, as close as was possible considering the difference of 20-odd years in their ages. Sheeran had an amateur's interest in astronomy. That was one of the bonds that drew them together. Aethor, back doing theoretical work. Imagine that. What could it all be about? Had some upstart published a paper attacking the law of universal gravitation? No, Sheeran thought, nobody would dare.
And you? Sheeran asked. You haven't said a word about what you did all the time I was away.
What do you think I did, Sheeran? Go power soaring in the mountains? Attend meetings of the Apostles of Flame? Take a course in political science? I read books. I taught my classes. I ran my experiments. I waited for you to come home. I planned the dinner I'd cook when you did come home. You're sure you aren't on a diet now?
Of course not.
He let his hand rest fondly on hers for a moment.
I thought about you all the time, Lilith.
I'm sure you did.
And I can hardly wait for dinner time.
Well, at least that much sounds plausible. The rain suddenly grew even more dense. A great swallowing mass of it struck the windshield, and it was all Lilith could do to keep the car on the road, though she managed it. They were going past the Pantheon, the magnificent cathedral of all the gods. It didn't seem quite so magnificent now, with rivers of rain sluicing down its brick facade. The sky darkened another degree or two in the worsening storm. Sheeran cringed away from the blackness outside and looked toward the brightly lit controls of the car's dashboard for comfort. He didn't want to be in the enclosed space of the car anymore. He wanted to be on the outside, in the open fields, storm or no storm. But that was crazy. He'd be soaked in an instant out there. He might even drown, the puddles were so deep. Think happy thoughts, he told himself. Think warm, bright thoughts. Think about sunshine, the golden sunshine of Onos, the warm light of Patru and Trey, even the chilly light of Sitha and Tano, the faint red light of Dovim. Think about this evening's dinner. Lilith has made a feast for you to welcome you back. She's such a good cook, Lilith is. He realized that he still wasn't hungry at all, not on a miserable gray day like this. So dark. So dark. But Lilith was very sensitive about her cooking, especially when she cooked for him. He'd eat everything she put before him, he resolved, even if he had to force himself. A funny notion, he thought. He, Sheeran, the great gourmand, thinking about forcing himself to eat. Lilith glanced toward him at the sound of his laughter. What's so funny?
But Aethor should be back doing research again, he said hastily. After having been content so long with being the Lord High Emperor of Astronomy and doing purely administrative stuff. I'll have to call Bine right away. What in the world can be going on over at the observatory?